creștin ortodox, la Biserica Ortodoxă mă duceam, am fost 35 de ani la Biserica Ortodoxă. După 35 de ani, într-o sâmbătă, că era, nu uit ziua asta, aceasta niciodată, au venit niște preoți de la Streșnicu cu filmul Iisus, filmul Domnului Iisus, filmul Domnului Iisus. Mă duceam la biserică, cum mă duceam, așa mă întorceam. Nu spunea că sunt iertat prin jertfa Domnului Iisus Hristos, că trebuie să mă pocăiesc de păcatele mele. Nu spunea să citim Biblia, să o citim. Că Domnul Iisus a murit pentru noi, pentru păcatele noastre, că s-a jertfit. Nu mai dădea cu cădenița lumea să închina înaintea lui, ceea ce nu spunea că să ne închinăm la, că ne închinăm icoanele la idoli, nu spunea nimic, absolut. Văzând așa, cuvintele care le-am auzit la predică și filmul cu Domnul Iisus până în momentul când să-i bată cu ele, că n-am putut să mai mă uit. Am început să plâng și n-am putut să mai mă uit la film când i-a bătut cu ele. Și atunci am zis în inima mea, uite, pop, aminte. Și s-a lipit cuvintele alea ca un magnet de inima mea. Și m-a făcut să cercetez Biblia. Am pus mâna să cercetez, din ce în ce, și în scurt timp am părăsit Biserica Ortodoxă. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship.
Am avut o mare problemă pentru că ajunsese să bat soția.
Whatever may pass and whatever lies before.
Ca și alte familii să înțeleagă ceea ce am înțeles noi. Vrem ca și ei să-L cunoască pe Domnul Iisus.
Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Prin harul lui Dumnezeu am putut să plantez 7 biserici în 4 județe.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
Mulțumim Domnului că împreună cu Asociația Lege Viața, Departamentul Biserici cu Impact, cu ajutorul bisericilor locale, am reușit să plantăm 15 biserici și au luat ființă 20 de grupuri de studiu în care se lucrează săptămânal.
I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy.
All right, I'm going to invite Romika to come and he's going to share with us. Thanks, Romika.
Thank you.
Bună dimineața.
Good morning. Good morning.
We know. That means good morning in Romania.
all the week ago when I was the briefing, there was a person that asked me to teach him to say good morning. And I told him, bună dimineața, and he could repeat it very well, like bună dimineața. But then he said, teach me how to say God bless you. And I told him, Dumnezeu să te binecuvânteze. He said, how? Dumnezeu să te binecuvânteze. And he said, I think I will say God bless you, which would be much more easier for me. I know that for those of you who were the first service, may sound like a deja vu. But we have a saying in Romania that says, the repetition is the mother of learning process. And that reminds me about a student who went to the school completely unprepared. And he got the test, the math. And he did know nothing. But he had a fear of dice. So he started to roll up the dice, and the number which was on the dice put on his answers. And he finished in 5 minutes. And he was just staying and watching the other colleagues. The teacher saw this and didn't say anything. But somehow close to the time, hour, the math, he started again to roll the dice. And the teacher went to him and said, student, I could realize that you were not prepared. And you just roll the dice, see what's gonna happen. But I don't know why you are doing it again. And his answer was, sir, I just wanted to verify myself that I put the right answers to everything. I'm not gonna do it this way, that even it'll be like a repetition. You already met my family and our best half of our marriage. We've been married for 20 years so far. And God blessed us, both of us came to know the Lord through Campus Crusade crew in Romania. When I saw her coming to a prayer meeting, which happened to be in my room, I told myself I can't lose this chance. So I didn't lose. One time we went in a village named Lehiu to share the Jesus field. We got there and we went to the mayor, rented the biggest room in the village, a theater, and we started the show. Sometime in the middle of our show, a priest, like a hurricane, opened the door and with an out loud voice screamed, stop the movie! Everybody out! People were confused, they didn't know what to say. He kept saying, stop the movie! Sir, we said after we reached him, what happened? Why do you do this? He said, get out! There is no place for you in my village. Among the people who were watching the movie, there was a person who was working for the government. He came and showed his government ID card to the priest and said, sir, I came here to watch this movie. Please let us see the movie. You can be even a president, said the priest. I don't care. In this village, I am the president. While people started to leave, one simple person from the crowd came and whispered something as he's here. We didn't know what he said, but the color of priest's face changed and he immediately left. At the end, while we're getting our stuff that we set up for the movie, We went to that person and asked, "Sir, what did you say to the priest that forced him to leave in such a hurry?" The man said, "This morning, around 3 a.m., I heard a tractor engine noise, and I was thinking, who's the one who is working in the middle of the night? So, living at the edge of our village, I went to see, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The tractor was driven by the priest, and he was carrying a wagon full of corn stolen from the people's field. So I told the priest, if you don't let me see the movie, I will tell everybody that last night you stole their corn." So, being afraid the priest will be rejected, and even more, maybe some of the owners could be that movie, he left, and this way we could see the movie. We praise God for every opportunity we have to share the gospel. And before I will share more, a little bit more, I want to read a few verses from John chapter 12, starting with verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, "He who believes in me is really believing the one who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as the light in the world. I came so that whoever believes in me would not stay in the darkness." The reason that we want people to hear about Jesus is because we don't want for them to stay in the darkness. And the Gospel of John has a lot of this contrast. Above, down, light, darkness, lie, truth. And even people in this world don't like the darkness. We use light here. It would be interesting to not have light here. No. And if we have like a problem in our houses and don't have light, and it is night, we just call the company to solve the problem. Why? Because we don't want to stay in the darkness. In the same time, there are a lot of people who don't know or don't have the spirit or light. They don't know that Jesus is the light of the world. They don't know that their life or the light of the world can come in their hearts, and they can walk in the light. About a month ago, before I came here, I went in a city with some volunteers to start planting a church. In that place, there is a missionary that works there, and he invited us. You know, I've been trying a lot with his help. And we wanted in the beginning to organize an event, a tent evangelistic event that we have seen in the video. But somehow the mayor didn't approve this. So we still went, and we went in the streets, in the bars, and started to talk with the people. And I remember one particular lady that, after we did that survey, she was very open. And while I started to share about Christ, how he changed my life, how he can change her life, she said, "This is not for me. I'm a too simple person that to come to the Lord." And I told her, this is the reason that Jesus came in our world, to save us from our sins. But she kept saying, "This is not for me." So some of the people don't know the light. And some of them, even they realize they are something that keeps them away. Romania, as many Eastern Europe countries, were many years in dark place. I grew up when everything was controlled by the communist government. When I was a child, my mother would send me to the store to wait in line for hours in order to get our monthly portion of oil, sugar, and flour. We couldn't have more than a few slices of bread daily, and couldn't find food to buy. And I remember that my brother and I would be so happy because we knew that in those days we could eat something sweet like a donut or homemade pie, because we could have some sugar and oil to make them. Everything was rationed. Gas, electricity for us to have the light had a meaning those days, because we had just 3 days a week electricity. A lot of our homeworks we had to do on a candlelight. We didn't have television programs except 2 hours a day, and everything was about Ceausescu and how great he is. So we didn't know anything about the West countries, just with what we learned of geography. So I ate and saw the first banana when I was 19 years old. Coke, even later. So we grew up in this kind of context, in a dark period of time. He was a very tough dictator. I remember my mother telling us not to say anything against his regime, because many people disappeared when they did that. Teachers would beat children in school, and we didn't have any hope beyond the cage, because it was like a cage we were living in. A lot of Christians struggled under the Ceausescu's rule. Neighbors spied on neighbors. You didn't know if your neighbor was a spy or not. So if you're talking to somebody about Christ or the Bible, the next day could happen that the security police would knock to your door and would turn upside down, tear your house, looking for Christian materials. If they found them, you would put in the prison. A lot of Christians were put in a prison, and many of them died there. So I grew up in this context, in the dark, without hope, and without anyone who would tell me about Jesus. But the days of freedom, or the day of the freedom, has come. After many prayers, and maybe a lot of you prayed for Romania, a lot of Americans I know prayed for Romania. In 1989, Romania was set free from the communists. For the first time, people shout on the streets, God exists. Even the Ceausescu ordered for people to be killed. And they ran with the tanks over there on the street. I was in my first year in college when a student came and shared the gospel with me. And it was like somebody turned on the light in a dark room. Deep down in my heart, I was looking for a purpose, for unconditional love, for a reason to live. So that day, I understood what Jesus did for me, and I received Christ right away. My heart was filled with joy and peace, and my life started to be changed. I was invited for the first time in a Baptist church, and I couldn't believe that you can sit down and watch and understand what is preached. Because in Orthodox Church, the priest usually sings. So you barely understand what he's saying, and you have to stand up 3 hours. How would be that? Interesting. So I mean, even I grew up in an Orthodox family, I went to many times with the Orthodox Church. I couldn't understand. This happened after the revolution, because before, Ceausescu trying to destroy the knowledge and the image of God in people's heart. He called himself our Father. And all the classes in the school had a big pictures with him.
As you can see here in the picture, this kind of picture we had in all the classes, and a lot of poems about them. How wonderful parents, father, mother they are. So my mother in the beginning was pleased because I quit going to dancing clubs and came and drank home. I was staying home in order to go with my friends to the disco, reading the Bible. Which things that was very weird for my mother, because she said, you don't have to take so seriously your faith, you know. But in our second year, around Christmas time, I was baptized. And it happened that a girl that didn't came before and neither after came that day. And that girl was from my village. And she went home and told to my priest village. And the priest started to say that I become a very dangerous person. Repenter is the name for nickname, and used to be under communists for the lowest kind of person in Romania. If you are you were a repenter, you couldn't advance. Even you were the smarter, you couldn't have a good salary, and had a lot of trouble because of your faith. So, and they used to spread this bad news that repenters meet over the night and kill children. So the priest started to say that I became that kind of person that kills children, that I betray my family, my nation, that I sold my soul to the Satan. That was shocking for my parents. They didn't used to go to the church, but the people was meeting them and starting to ask, what happened with your son? Do you know what the priest says? That and that and that. So my father told my mother, go to this boy and bring him home. He lost his mind and made us ashamed. So my mother came to the university in Bucharest, and she had my aunt and uncles with her. And she came to me and said, I came to talk about your cult and Baptists and get in the car. So she took me to my aunt and my uncle's house, and with my cousins, they surrounded me. And for many hours, they put pressure on me to give up to my faith, saying that I wouldn't leave that room until I would give up. I didn't know anything to say, so I just keep listening to them, saying nothing. After 6 hours, my mother started to cry and said, I can't go home if you don't give up to your new religion. Your father told me not to to come home if you don't give up to your new religion. All the people in our village point their fingers and say bad things because of you. Finally, I said, I can't do this. My life started to change, and you know this. And now you want to give up? I just can't do this. After many hours, they let me go to the student dorm because I was, as I said, in my second year in college. But the pressure wasn't over. When I had to go home for the summer break, because I had to go somewhere, the dorms were closed during the summer, everybody in my village shunned me and was looking to me in a strange way. My parents barely responded to my hello, and my brother didn't talk to me except they had to. They started, my parents, to put pressure to go back to my old life, to the drinking. And actually, my father told me that he wished I was a criminal than to be a Christian. So I didn't have other people to talk with in my village. I was just by myself. The only refuge I had was the Bible and the prayer. So very early in the morning, before I was going to the farm, and late in the evening, was the only thing that I could do to pray and read the Bible. So in this way, I could survive that summer. After a few years, things started to change in that area. A group of Christians thought and planned to bring the gospel in Tecuc City, which was very close to the place I grew up, and I went to the high school in that city. And they planned to have the Jesus film in the largest room in the city. So they went to the mayor, they went to the security, to the chief of the police, and asked for the permission and the authorization they needed and paper. So they gave them and rented the theater. On the day, on the event, after we put poster, gave invitation to the people, we started the show, and soon after, a police major opened the door and with an out loud voice yelled to us, "Stop the movie! Everybody out!" People being intimidated, starting to leave. So we went to him and asked, "Sir, why do you do this?" And trying to show him the papers and the authorization we had. And he said, "I do this because I want to. I don't care. Do you have the authorization?" So we went up in front and told the people that we can't continue tonight, but we invited them to come to the next day, next evening, to see the rest part of the movie. This thing made the police major so angry that he yelled again and again, "Who do you think you are to invite those people tomorrow? There will be no movie anymore." We didn't say anything. But the next day, we called the mayor and the chief of the police and let them know what happened. And we found out how God worked. Actually, that police major had been transferred to be a guard at the jail. So he wouldn't be around to stop our movie anymore. And we saw how God can change things like that. Even we just prayed. We didn't know how God will solve this problem. So, by God's grace, we could show the Jesus film, and people were more than happy. And a lot of them gave their lives to Christ. That was about 17 years ago. There was a price to be Christian that time, and there is a price to be Christian even now. There is a price that has to be paid in order to take the gospel to others. And the same unconditional love I saw in Jesus first time when I heard the message of gospel continued to draw people, men and women, to God's family, and God continues to build his church in Romania. Between 1996 and 2005, a lot of churches and volunteers partnered with us, with crew, using Jesus film tools, going in different places, in different villages, talking with people, sharing the gospel. And there were over 600 churches that were planted in those years. But our focus was more on coverage. We just wanted for people to hear the gospel and have the chance to respond. But in spite of these efforts, the number of Christians, even now, is not bigger than 5%. And the entire southeast part of Romania, it's 1% and even under. It's the part I'm responsible for, and it has a lot of tradition, a lot of idolatry, a lot of witchcraft. And even the churches have problems, the members of the churches. So we started a new campaign by sending envelopes, news, like invitation, to all the people in those communities that we couldn't go to reach them with the gospel. So in those invitations, we tell them about our desire to come and share the gospel and show the Jesus film with them. We put even inside a stamp return envelope, so even they didn't have money, they just could send the letter to us and let us know if there are 8, 10 people or more who want to see the Jesus film. We will come and show. And in many places we went and showed the Jesus film. Many churches started. In some places, the postman, being influenced by the priest, just thrown away all the letters, keeping away from the people the message that can save their lives. One of the postmen told his story once. In a village, in a small community, you don't have so many things to deliver to the people. And suddenly, he got a bunch of letters that he has to deliver to every single house. He didn't know where those letters came from, but he went to every single house. People opened the letters and seeing what is inside, started to ask him, tell us more about this Jesus film. Tell us more about when it will be. Who will come to show to us? But a postman didn't know anything. So he was overwhelmed and went home and started to find out who were those who sent these letters. In his research, he found out our desire to show the people Jesus film and our desire to bring the Jesus to them. He became himself a Christian person and he got involved in that project, and there is a church right now and he is part of the church. Doesn't God work in a mighty way? When some of them just keep the message of salvation away, some of them became Christian and got involved in people's lives. With our vision to see a church or a small group fellowship for 1,000 people, a multiplying disciples that live out their faith so everyone could see a true follower of Christ, we knew that we have to partner with all the churches in Romania. So one way that helped churches reaching out many communities around them with no evangelical church at all, it was through the 10th evangelistic project. This kind of project usually lasts from 1 to 3 days, and a group of Christians sets up a big tent like that one in a place that can be reached by everyone in the village or in the town. And they go from house to house talking with people, sharing the Christ if they are open, invite them to the event. And it has different things, this kind of event. Free medical services for people coming people coming from the village for a blood test or other medical eye problems. We work in partnership with a Christian medical association. So, in other music groups, programs for kids, where we do different things to learn them about, teach them about Jesus, and teach them to learn Bible verses and other things. And Jesus film, or Magdalena, or other film. And after this event, at the end, since we have had the Rivka premiere, we started to show a clip from Rivka. I don't know how much you know about Rivka, but it's kind of film series which has 12 episodes that shows people how to live their faith and approach different themes. And the good advantage or an advantage of this using this tool is that creates a community for people, and coming every week, they start to know each other. They see the benefit of Rivka, of teaching in their lives. Seeing the transformation in their lives, they start to invite their neighbors and relatives and friends. So Usually, for instance, we had the Rivka premiere last year in September, and many churches and volunteers started to use Rivka. And by spring this year, there were 165 groups started with Rivka. For instance, in Uncești, which is a locality in the up north in Romania, a family that is volunteers with us organized a Magdalena event. And at this event, a lot of people came, and a lot of them gave their lives to Christ at the end. We showed a clip from the Rivka, and we invited them to come next week, thinking that at least a group, maybe with people will start. But there were more people that we expected, that in less than a month, there were already six groups started, Bible groups. So God sometimes surprised us, and we started to dare more in faith, to ask God to do amazing things among them. Mary is one of the lady that came of this kind of Magdalena event. And she had a very difficult marriage because her husband is alcoholic, and many times he came drunk home, and he was beating their four children, and even Mary hitting her head of the walls on the house. And she was at the end of her rope. She said, I can't live in this kind of situation. And she decided that it's not worthy. And one day, she jumped in the well, killing herself. It happened that day her husband wasn't drunk. And he rushed and saved her, pulling out from the well. Soon after, she was invited and came to the Magdalena event, and while she watched, she wept out loud. She gladly received Christ in her heart. He got peace and joy, and her life started to change, to be changed. She started to attend to a Rivka group and to pray for her family. 2 months later, her children and her husband started to come too. And now she prays that a Bible group, will take place in her house. Isn't that amazing how God works? So, for the last year since we had the premiere with Rivka, there were 225 Rivka groups started, and 65 of them are already a second generation, multiplying group. So, looking to Romania, there are two major things that we see God doing right now. One is a revival that takes place right now among the Gypsy people. I don't know if you have here Gypsy people, but in Romania we have many. And they have a negative image because a lot of them are uneducated. They don't know to read. A lot of children don't go to school. Girls, many of them get married when they are 12, 13. They live in kind of tight communities with their own kind of dress and culture. And if the leader of the clan become Christian or reject Christ, he can influence the whole community. But we've seen revival and transformation in many Gypsies' lives. Actually, this summer we had many events among them with hundreds of participants. Many of them gave their lives. Many of them were baptized. For instance, Peter is one of the Gypsy person that came with the kind of event organized by one volunteer of ours. And we gave the Jesus film that event, and we brought the Jesus film in their language, which is Romanes. At the end, we gave DVDs with one condition. If you take a DVD, you have to promise to the Lord that you'll watch with their friends or relatives or neighbors. Many of them took. Peter came to this at the end and said to one of my colleagues, Sir, do you have something to change my life? I just got out from prison 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to go back. My colleague told him, Peter, I don't have a pill that I can give you to you to change your life. But here it's a DVD with Jesus film, and it's the pictures when he was handling the DVD, and said, if you watch this movie, you'll understand what Jesus did for you, and you'll see that he's the only one who can change your life. He took the DVD. 2 weeks later, he called again and said, Sir, I've been watching that movie every day since then. I received Christ in my life. What shall I do now? And we put in contact with that person that organized that event, and he got in that group, which is the church now. And the second thing that we see is that we need to partner with others who want to reach people from every age category. We are keenly aware that in every community there are adults, teenagers, young people, children, and it's our desire to share the light of Christ with every demographic age. So we want to for this to partner with churches, which actually we do. We partner with local churches, and we want to give a chance to every person, no matter what age. For instance, this past summer, a few months ago, we had a summer school project. And on this project, there many young people came. Stephen is one of the young people that came, and he got the vision of what God can do if he is available to work for his kingdom and to build a multiplication way of thinking. So he got home. 2 weeks later, he called us because he needed some advices how can lead a group, and told us, after I got home, I invited four of my non-Christian friends, and we watched a movie from Jesus film, La Liberté. It's very short, but he said, we had such a good conversation, and they like it so much. So we started a group with them. So the reason I called you is because I need some help how to lead this. And we helped him. After another 2 weeks, he called again. And he said, I need some help again. But let me tell you something. To our last meeting, one of the members from the group, from those non-Christian person, called me and said, Stephen, I got a surprise for you, and we'll see you tonight. And I was thinking, what kind of surprise here? Anyhow, but to that meeting, he brought two other non-Christian friends with him. So he was amazed, and we too, to see how God used a person from the group to bring other non-Christian people to that meeting. As movement, looking to see God raise thousands of multiplying disciples, we know that we must work by faith and have to mobilize the body of Christ. We can't do this by ourselves. So in our department, which is called a Global Church Movement, we work in partnership with local churches, trying to reach every step the neighbor communities, building a movement there so they can share the gospel with others. For this, starting with the beginning of next year, as you can see on the screen, we are going to approach four key cities in four different counties. In these cities, we organize multiple events with gospel presentation, And all the leaders that will be trained ahead will take this vision to the other towns and communities in those four counties. In this way, all the new believers will be integrated in small groups and for spiritual growing and multiplication training, so that they will be fully equipped to start other groups and share the gospel with others. So we've been starting to pray. We already started some meeting with leaders in those counties. And we pray that maybe in 2019 there will be other 10 cities added to these four. So there will be multiple events that will happen simultaneously in the same time for 2 weeks in every single city. And through this, we want to bring the light of the gospel so nobody would work in the darkness, as we have read. We know that Jesus is the one who can give what they long for. And we will continue to share the gospel and train them to tell others. So one day, everybody will know somebody who truly follow Jesus. And I will close with the verse that I read in the beginning, verse 46. I have come as the light into the world. I have come so that whoever believes in me would not stay in the darkness. Our prayer and desire is for your community here and for ours in Romania to hear the gospel, and everyone would walk someday in the light. Amen.
Thank you. I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for Romania and the work that Ramika and Adina and their team is doing there. And also, just a helpful way for you to be able to pray is there's some cards out there on the secretary's counter, and you can grab one of these cards, and there's some magnets on the back, and you can stick it on your refrigerator, and it's just a reminder to pray. And so consider doing that. And if you want to support the ministry, is there's a basket out there, and you can put a gift in that basket, and we'll make sure that they get it. Or even if you wanted to drop off a check later in the week or something like that, is we can financially support it, and it'll go to supporting all of that ministry. Or if you want to become their supporters, you can put down your email address, and they'll send you newsletters and updates, and there's a website on there that you can go to support them. But neat work that's going on in Romania. Would you stand with me, and we'll close in prayer? So let's pray. Father and Lord God, when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, Lord, sometimes we can't imagine what that looks like. But Lord, for whatever reason, you choose to work through us. And Lord, when we put our faith in Jesus, you come into our life and we become a light in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the light of Christ in our own community and around the world. And Lord, we pray for Ramika and Adina and for their family and for all of the workers that are working in Romania. And Lord, just go before them. Lord, we just pray that you'd cover all of this, and we give it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.